Welcome to the South Shore's Morning News Weekend Review Podcast. I'm Rob Hackelow. Listen for the next 30 minutes as we take a look back at some of the big interviews from the week on the South Shore's Morning News, which airs live weekdays from 5 to 10 a.m. Here we go. The South Shore's Morning News. Great to have you with us. I'm Rob Hackelow. Our intern, Kristen, is here. And every week at this time, we check in with our tech guy. It's David Snell over at Act Smart IT in Wareham. David, good morning.
Good morning, Robin. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning, David.
All right, so this week we're going to talk about, is this about robot vacuums?
Yeah, that's part of what we're going to talk about and the reason for them.
Okay. This is always, has anyone have a robot vacuum at all? No? I want to know, do they really do a lot, or do you still have to vacuum?
Tim and I had one years ago when they were first introduced. We wanted to try the new technology.
Yes.
And it worked okay until I got, my kid caught on a rug or something.
Yeah.
Or also, it can't get into corners.
Yeah, that's true.
Because it's a round vacuum. So you still had to do some type of work, but it kept the dog fur down. We've always been a dog family, so it did control that for quite a while.
Okay, so it helps.
So the interesting thing about the robot vacuums and the iRobot in particular, a Massachusetts-based company, their latest software for iRobot vacuums and mops they have would provide its household robots with a deeper understanding of your home and your habits. They put a new camera on it. Mm-hmm. That will actually take pictures as it goes around and decides what your home is. Now, this takes on a whole new meaning with the news that Amazon has purchased iRobot for $1.7
billion. $1.7
billion.
That's great for the robot company, I guess.
It is. And also, it's great for Amazon, but we'll talk about why it's probably not great for you and I as consumers.
Ah, okay. Well, obviously
something with Amazon.
Well, no, it's true. Okay, so now there must be a reason why they want this particular. There are other robot vacuums out there, but for some reason they were drawn to this particular company.
Exactly. So, like most big tech companies, if they can't develop their own product, they buy a company that has one already.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Now, they could probably make their own. You're right. But this is just easy. They've got the best one, it sounds like.
Exactly. And then, we've been saying for years and years that Bill Gates and Microsoft wanted to rule the world. Well, he's got a new contender here in Amazon.
Yeah. No, I think so. I feel like, Bill Gates seems more like the retired ruler of the world. And the other guy wants the crown, Jeff Bezos.
Exactly right. So this AI-powered camera robot has already been in use, has already detected 43 million objects in people's homes. And all of this data goes up into the cloud, goes up into the Amazon cloud. So essentially, with all of the products that Amazon has, let's look at just a few of them.
Yeah.
They've got the Ring camera.
Okay.
They've got the iRobot.
Yeah.
Okay. They have
Alexa.
Go ahead.
Well, they have Alexa.
They have Alexa.
Yeah,
it supposedly waits for your wake word. I've found that in some cases, our Alexa has responded without a wake word to things that we were conversing about.
Yeah. Us too. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I get so nervous about that thing. I mean, it's useful for some things, but I get so concerned about it. I always push that red button. I don't even know if it works to make it. I don't know if it can undo that itself. But
that red button is probably the button that you think turns that off. But it says, okay, now I have to listen harder.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, I mean, I don't. Yeah, I mean, I guess you're right. I mean, this is the trade-off if you want to have these things. But you're right. I mean, now with one company, though, you're right. This is not a bunch of different things. This is one company. Again, going down here, we're going to go down. I'm sure some people already have thought about this. But again, you're right. The robot's taking pictures. We just talked about last week with the Ring and taking things outside your house, and then that was all going to some central cloud. And now if you have your vacuum cleaner taking pictures and then Alexa listening, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to become a conspiracy theorist here, but it seems like something to be concerned about, too much information in one company.
Exactly my feelings. My ongoing question has been, what happens when this massive data store get hacked, because mm-hmm. nothing is ever truly 100% safe in the cloud.
Yeah.
So what happens to us? And they have another one. So when they bought iRobot,
yeah.
they also bought the Aeris air purifiers. And they automatically know which room it's in so that it can adjust the noise level.
Wait a minute. Okay.
Yeah.
They have an air purifier, and then the air purifier, what does it do? It knows?
It automatically knows which room it's in. For instance, if it's in the bedroom, the sound it makes would be much quieter compared to if it's in the kitchen, where there are lots of sources of pollutants, it could be louder.
Okay.
So all of these are artificial intelligence. So artificial intelligence just scares a lot of people. And I, for one, just don't know how we're going to control this as things continue to get built up and we as consumers embrace them, not thinking about the ramifications, like everything that Amazon is going to know about us now, including our Amazon Prime account. It's just...
Yeah,
it boggles the mind how much data they'll have on us.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not against a robot vacuum in itself, but I just would like it not to be connected to anything. You know, it just go around and, you know, clean up the house. I don't, you know, don't take pictures of anything. Just go around. I suppose I could get the old version then and just have that thing bouncing around.
Exactly. Exactly. Anyone buying new technology needs to understand the implications as to how data is transferred and stored.
Yeah.
And it's not transferred, not stored on-premise. It's transferred to the cloud.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we'll have your refrigerator and your oven and your lawnmower will all be controlled by the cloud. And then you'll have a house computer. That's where I always get. That's when you go to the HAL 9000 stuff. And the computer
That's
is
right.
controlling everything. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Hopefully, we're never going to get to that point. But these are things I think that it's important to have a conversation about and think about. And, you know, I imagine that's where you do need the government to step in if it becomes a monopoly or one company has too much data. Does that mean that is there any laws that are being broken there? I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. We'll find out in the future how that happens. But so... Amazon now with iRobot has many of the elements needed to create a almost sentient smart home, one that can anticipate what you want to do, and do it without your asking.
Wow.
Okay, this is something Amazon has already started to do with this hunches feature.
Hunches? What's
it's
that?
It's called hunches, yeah. So it, based on what you say or what you're saying, it can react faster because it has a hunch about what the end of your conversation is going to be.
Oh, the computer's figured us out already.
There's more artificial intelligence.
Yeah. Well, if the computer's figured us out, I guess we're done. David Snell is going to have the latest on this blog, and it'll be something to be concerned about, I imagine. Do we know, David, I guess I know we're running behind, but I want to ask you, is there a way that the vacuum cannot be hooked up, or does it automatically go to a cloud, or is there a way to opt out of that, or do we know?
It automatically goes to the cloud.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But they have to give you the option to not use it. So
okay.
I don't own the new one. The new one looks, if you look at it, it resembles a small toilet.
Okay.
Okay. Look at a picture of it online. But,
all right. I'll have to check it out.
You have to be able to opt out. I just don't happen to be able to test that theory with you.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. David, if people want to read the latest blog here about Amazon and their purchasing iRobot, where can they get the info?
Go to AxSmartIT.com and click on my blog link.
All right. David Snell, AxSmartIT.com, AxSmartIT, David Snell in Wareham. Thank you, David.
Have a great day.
You too. This is the South Shore's Morning News, and I'm Rob Hakala. In this segment, we're going to be talking to Dr. Sabina Hassenfelder. She is the creator of the popular YouTube channel Science Without the Gobbledygook. She is taking on the biggest questions in physics and life in her new thought-provoking book, Existential Physics, A Scientist's Guide to Life's Biggest Questions. And we only have a few minutes to talk to her. So let's get right to it. Dr. Hassenfelder, good morning.
Good morning.
Great to have you on WATD. A fascinating book, certainly. You will try to break it down and explain it for us. In fact, right in the very beginning here, you have a warning. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I have a warning because if it comes to the existential questions, it's sometimes a little bit difficult to face the truth. Like when it comes to the question, do we have free will? Does the past still exist? Do we have an afterlife? That kind of thing. So I wanted to be open with people that it won't always be easy if they read the book.
Yes, it doesn't always match up with what you would like. So, well, let's get into a few of them. I guess the past, does the past still exist? Seems a fascinating question to me. Let's start there.
Yeah, so for all we currently know, yes, the past still exists. This is one of the insights that comes out of Einstein's theories of special and general relativity. And I find it really fascinating. It's the kind of thing that we learn as students in physics in the first year, and then our mind gets blown, and then we kind of get used to it. So the problem that Einstein highlighted is that if his theory is correct, and for all we know it is, then it's impossible to define a moment that we call now that is independent of the observer. So pretty much every moment could be now for someone, so they all exist in the same way.
Can we go to the past?
No, unfortunately not. You've already been there.
I guess that makes sense, doesn't it? Let's talk about the other question about the universe and why it's here and how did it get created and what's going to happen to it.
Oh, yeah. So the question, how did the universe get created, is pretty quick to answer. The answer is we don't know, and I suspect we'll probably never know. I think it's one of the ways in which science is fundamentally limited. You've probably heard of a lot of stories that physicists have told about the beginning of the universe. Could have been a Big Bang or a Big Bounce or some collision of sorts or a high-dimensional black hole and that kind of stuff. I think they're just modern creation myths written in the language of mathematics to impress people, but really we can't tell one possibility from the other.
What was here before then? Will we ever know? I mean, there seems to be so much space.
There's a lot of space in the universe. Yes, actually, we think it's probably infinitely large. So that's really a lot. But to make matters more complicated, we think it's always been infinitely large.
I'd like to know, do you think we haven't found any life? I've always wondered, and you must wonder, with all this space, there's got to be other stuff out there, right? Is it just that we haven't found it yet?
You mean intelligent life?
Yeah, any life. Yeah, an intelligent life, I would think, because if it's infinite, why are we, there must be more.
Yeah, well, I would agree with you. I think it's very likely that at least some kind of life is out there in our universe. Whether it's intelligent, whether it has advanced technology, I don't know. But I just think that complexity and chaotic systems, self-organized complexity, isn't as rare as some physicists think.
Hmm. Now, what do you think about in terms of why, you know, we're here and in terms of the way that this planet developed, that there is so much life? Is there some reason behind it, or is this all random?
Well, it's a combination, I think, of good luck and being in a good spot. You know, this is a very pleasant planet in the habitable zone of a friendly sun. So this is good news, and I think if we take good care of it, we can probably live on it comfortably a little longer.
And what about the issue of free will? I suppose that's important to a lot of people, right, Dr. Hassenfelder? You know, I can do what, you know, I can make my own changes, and, you know, I determine my own outcome.
Yes, that's right. The problem with talking about free will is that no two people mean the same thing. They all have some idea for what it means, but what do we mean by free? Free from what? Free to do what? And what is this will thing that you're talking about, does consciousness have something to do with it? It's really a rabbit hole. So to avoid this problem, I like to just talk about what we know about the laws of nature that is relevant to the question. And what we know is that the laws of nature are partly deterministic and partly random. And in the deterministic part, the future follows from the past without any wiggle room. And the random part comes from quantum mechanics. So every once in a while, there's an unpredictable jump. So if you know this, would you think that you have free will?
No, I guess not.
Yeah, I would agree with you, but other people have other definitions for free will that has something to do with the autonomy by which you can make decisions. And so they are talking about some notion of free will, just with a different meaning, I suppose, and that's fine with me.
Dr. Sabina Hassenfelder is with us, and I just want to leave, you know, we're almost out of time, as as a person yourself, what would be something that you would like to have discovered or answered in your lifetime? Something that, that you would really say, boy, I wish we could find out about this.
I really want to know how measurements work in quantum mechanics.
Dr. Sabina Hassenfelder has been with us, and Existential Physics is the name of the book. Thank you, Doctor.
Thanks for having me.
A Scientist's Guide to Life's Biggest Questions. Boy, she knows a lot more, it seems like, than I do, that's for sure. And she is also the author of Lost in Math, How Beauty Leads Physics Astray. And this is the new book. And by the way, too, you can check out her YouTube channel if you want to see some of these great videos and you want to have some explanations about certain things. She explains it in a very good way. It's called Science Without the Gobbledygook. You can check that out on YouTube. And then pick up the new book now called Existential Physics. Dr. Sabina Hassenfelder. I'm Rob Hakala with The Morning Team, and a number of special guests joining me in Studio B this morning. We've got some of the cast from Hair, the musical. This is going on now at the Company Theater in Norwell through August 21st, I believe. And in studio with us this morning to talk all about it, we've got Peter Kirby is here. Hello, Peter.
Hello, good morning.
Also with you, Elise Clinton. Good morning to you, Elise.
Good morning.
And Sarah Burke over there. Hello, Sarah.
Hello, good morning.
All right. Well, thanks all of you for being in studio this morning and very prompt as well. They were extremely early, so that's great. This is good because I was talking with Zoe and I said, I tend to think theater people generally don't like to get up very early in the morning. They've got a lot of late night shows and late night rehearsals. Usually they're probably not going to come in for the 5 o'clock hour. I know that. But you guys made it in this morning and you guys are excited. This show is getting great reviews. It's doing very well. And we wanted to remind people it's not over yet. So if you haven't gone, get some tickets. All right, so we'll start. Who wants to tell us? We'll go around the room. I guess we'll start with you, Peter. Tell us about your role and what it's like to be in the show.
Well, I play Claude Hooper Bukowski in the show. He sings a lot of the iconic songs like The Flesh Failures, I Got Life, Manchester, England. And this actually isn't my only time that I've been in Hair at the Company Theater. I was in the Teen Conservatories production of the show back in 2016. So I came into it really familiar with the material and what Zoe and Sally had envisioned the last time we were in it. And mm-hmm. It was a great process reviving this work.
So it's kind of homecoming for you, and it's been a good summer so far?
Yeah, it's been pretty good.
All right. Well, Elise, you're up next. Tell us about your role and what it's like to be in this production.
Awesome. Yeah. I am kind of just a general tribe member. I don't have a name. I do sing. I'm one of the soloists for the Black Boys Trio in the second act. And Hair is a show that I have grown up loving. My parents always played it in the house, and we grew up watching the movie and all that, so getting to finally do it
now
that I'm...
Your parents like theater, I think.
Yes, you know my parents.
I do know them. I hope they're doing well, by the way.
They are. They are doing really well. So this process has been really, really fun in terms of, like, getting to live that dream I always had as a kid of getting on stage and being a hippie.
That's not a bad thing, and it's been fun so far.
Yes.
And Sarah, tell us about your role and what it's like to work with this group and be a part of this production.
So I am playing the role of Ronnie. So I am the Aquarius soloist, and I also get to do another song in Act Two. And it's been such a wonderful experience. I have fallen in love with, like, all of, like, the castmates. Everybody has just been so amazing, and I think just with the way the world is going right now, we are seeing, like, patterns of history repeating itself, and this show is so crucial to where our, like, time is headed right now. So it's a great show for people to see, but also has a very important timeless message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was talking to Zoe as well. As we know, the theater community has been hit hard the last several years with COVID and all of the productions, and she said, you know, we're doing well, but we really want to encourage people who want to get back out there again. It's important to support our local theaters, right, guys?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
100%.
All right, let's talk about the details. So the show only runs through the 21st, which is a Sunday, so we're coming up here on the final performances, right?
Yeah, we have this today, Friday through Sunday, and then Wednesday through Sunday next week.
Yeah.
Tell us what it's like. Who wants to chime in here? What's the importance of local theater? Does anybody want to chime in and just tell us about that, or if anybody wants to jump in, just to, again, talk about why it's so important to support local theater and really you know, just the amazing actors that are out there and the performances that are going on. Anyone want to speak to that?
Yeah, I just want to say that this is my 10th year at the Company Theater. This is my 21st production with them. And growing up with access to, like, really high-quality theater and theater education is super important for kids and adults, too, who are trying to, like, find where they fit. They have this creative part of themselves. Theater, for me, was, like, a really great outlet in discovering who I am, and I think that anything along those lines needs to be supported by as many people as possible.
Mm. Yeah, I think also what Sarah was speaking to about the message of hair being so important now, about fighting for rights and what's important. Sometimes when you go into a professional theater environment, there is that disconnect. You don't know the actors. You don't know the people behind the scenes. They seem more like the characters themselves, and that can create a distance. When you go to local theater, that's your teacher at the local high school. That's the person who bags groceries at the local Stop and Shop. It's your cousins, your aunts, your uncles. There is that personal stake and connection with the people who are on stage and behind the scenes that I think can make a lot of that message that theater in general is trying to tell a lot more poignant when it comes from your own community. You know that those people are a part of you, part of your tribe, as it were.
Mm. All right. Well, before summer ends, we want to encourage people to get tickets. I imagine the website is the best place to go. You can get the details right there. I think at companytheater.com, companytheater.com. You click on Hair, the musical, and you can buy your tickets right from the website. As we mentioned, I think the night performances are at 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
And then at, let's see, so there will be one on the 14th and the 21st. That's Sunday at 3 p.m.
Yes.
Okay. Companytheater.com. Companytheater.com is the website. And we want you to not have the summer wrap up without taking in the musical Hair. And summer theater is a lot of fun, isn't it, guys?
Mm-hmm.
It is.
So fun.
There's something so special. And by the way, too, we're lucky not only to have you guys and what the Company Theater, but so many wonderful organizations, you're right, in our area, Peter, that it's great for younger people to kind of express their creativity and to get out and be a part of some wonderful performances. So congratulations to all of you so far, Peter Kirby, Elise Clinton, and Sarah Burke.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. As always, you can find us on your radio at 95.9 FM, mornings from 5 to 10, or online at 95.9WATD.com.
And you can catch up with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can get the links at 95.9WATD.com/SS Morning News. And join us next week for another edition of the South Shore's Morning News Week in Review.